Welcome back, guys. It's been one extra week since the last time you heard us. But you know what? We're well rested and ready to go. We got two hosts. Oh, wait. We're the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast.
Oh, boy.
And we've got two hosts. One of them is, I don't do social media or physical media anymore, Hunter Talbot.
It's physical media.
Do you remember that?
No.
In our group chat, you're like, I don't do physical media anymore. I thought that was so funny.
I don't even know what it was referencing.
I'm Rope Dog.
Okay, well, that was confusing not only for me, but everyone else listening.
Yep, that was an inside joke for only me.
I'm the only one on the inside.
Yep. We got a pretty rad episode today. We're exploring the history of the band Fireworks.
Fireworks. That band everyone forgets about.
Yeah.
But they're coming back. Maybe. I think so. They're supposed to be.
Okay.
We don't know. I'll believe it when I see some fucking new releases.
Aren't they on tour with the Wonder Years?
I don't think quite yet, but they're about to be.
So
that's going to be exciting. I would love to see Fireworks live. I definitely have not gotten to.
No.
So that would be cool. But I also realized how much of this band's career I have missed, which is about 99% of it.
Same.
Mm-hmm. There was like always like certain songs like I would listen to and then completely ignore the rest of the catalog. So this was forcing Roper and I to listen to all of it.
Yeah.
Every single song released by this band, Roper and I have had the pleasure of listening to.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it.
Yep.
We're going to talk about it. So instead of wasting everyone's time here, should we just jump right in?
Dive right in.
Roper.
Uh-huh.
We got some members to these bands that we always like to talk about. A little gossip.
Can't have a band without members.
Hatsune Miku.
What?
You don't know who Hatsune Miku is?
No.
She was like the first like hologram artist. And like everything is like all MIDI and like even her vocals and stuff.
She's not even a real person.
No, she's not real. There's like nothing.
Who programmed her?
I don't know. I guess you could argue that that's her band, but I just think it's really fascinating. So yeah, like there's like this giant hologram of her like singing all of these tunes and stuff, and it's all in Japanese.
You gotta send me some videos.
I'll show you some. I always say I'll show Rope or something,
and then
we never
get to it.
And that's okay. But instead of holograms, we got real people.
Yeah,
we got David McIntyre. He does the lead vocals from 2004 to present. Brett Jones, lead guitar and backing vocals, also from 2004 to present, which 2004 was when they began, just so everyone's aware.
Yeah.
Chris Mojan does the rhythm guitar, vocals, and lead guitar, and that's 2004. And upwards, Kyle O'Neill does the bass, 2004 and upwards. Adam Mersner, keyboards, backing vocals, rhythm guitar, and that's 2014 and present.
Ooh.
I know, we had a switch there. And then Ted Roberts, drums, backing vocals, and he's from 2014.
Ooh.
And then the past member was, I believe his name is pronounced Tim,
yeah.
T-Y-N-N, Rangers. He did the drums and backing vocals as well, which I always think is cool when, like, drums could do some, like, backing vocals.
Yeah.
Or, like, vocals. I think Taylor Hawkins, when he was alive, he had a band that he was drums and lead vocals. Which is...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how he had the energy for it, but he did.
I don't know either.
And it was pretty good. That was pretty good. So, what's going on with these guys? Who are the Fireworks? Not the Fire. It's just Fireworks. Every time I typed in Fireworks on Spotify, they're like, you mean Katy Perry's? And I'm like, no.
Fuck you.
No.
Fuck
stop
you,
it.
Katy Perry.
Fireworks formed in 2004 under the name Bear.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Eventually changing their name to Fireworks soon after. So it must not have been a very long life name because I could not find anything under that name. After years of recording three full lengths, three EPs, and consistent touring, Fireworks took a hiatus between 2015 and 2019, coming back to announce a new record only to be delayed by COVID.
Motherfucker.
So if anyone's luck is worse than mine, it's Fireworks. They have since released a new single and have announced that their newest record will be released sometime this year, supposedly.
Right.
But we're already in September and we have not seen like hardly anything from them.
Got 3 months left.
So I think it would be a really good idea for them to announce or re-announce the record as soon as the tour starts with,
yeah,
and then drop a single, because that way they can play it live and then people get hyped. I mean, a lot of their fan base comes from the Wonder Years because the Wonder Years keeps talking about.
Yeah.
So,
and when we saw the Wonder Years, weren't some of the Fireworks members,
yes,
in the same room as us?
Chicago. But I don't remember what members they were.
I don't think they even said which ones were there.
Yeah, I think there was two members there. Yeah. Which is interesting because they are not from Illinois.
They're from Michigan,
which, yeah,
isn't that far from Chicago.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we got some EPs to talk about. We actually kind of like just lumped them all together.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into it, but mainly like they kind of, I mean, it's definitely like a beginning,
yeah,
stage for them. The EPs are titled We Are Everywhere Adventure, Nostalgia and Robbery, and then finally Bonfires, Roper. Okay, I'll start us off. Okay. I think out of all three of these EPs, I think my standout was Decline of a Midwest Civilization. So I say the night, hoping you and I would fix this shit, so I can't get it right. But the lights are out, and I had my doubts. Oh no, she can't be gone at all this time. We cross each other's body line. We were fighting on. Some other standout tracks for me were like Ships in the Night, From Mountain Movers to Lazy Losers, which is the coolest name for any title of song they had, so props to that. And then finally, I Grew Up in a Legion Hall.
Yeah.
So, for the beginning stages of their career, this was actually really impressive.
Yeah.
I was, like, actually expecting it to be a lot... I think the quality of the recordings were a lot better than what I expected them to be. The first one that they released was a little bit dicey, but, like, the last two were, like... almost to the point of where the LP was, not quite.
Yeah. Well, there's an LP in between the last two EPs.
So Bonfires came out after the first one?
Yeah, Bonfires came out in 2010.
Well, didn't the first one come out in like 2011?
No.
When did the first one come out?
The first one came out in 2006.
2009.
Oh, the first album came out in 2009. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the first EP came out in 2006. Yeah. I should have wrote the numbers. I usually do.
Yeah.
Regardless, it doesn't matter. I believe each EP was better overall than the last, which
I agree with that.
Super nice there, which is cool because you get to see like the growth of the band. So, and I do think a lot of their songs had the tendency to blend into each other. That was like something that I had discovered a lot with. I mean, sometimes like certain bands, like you really have to like grow into and like. And maybe I didn't give it the ultimate time, especially with the EPs. I think it was like a one or twice listen for me.
Yeah.
And then I was out because I knew that the LPs were a little bit better. But I was impressed. I liked the EPs. I think that they were short and sweet, which is great for... I mean, I think that's why I like EPs so much, is because like if you want like a little sample...
It's a nice gateway.
There you go. Roper, what about you?
My standout track was Cartolina. Calling all cars, we got an emergency. We're through the streets on the count of three to make way for the void. Way for the way, yeah. So, don't stop. Some other standout tracks are Seasick, I Grew Up in a Legion Hall, mm-hmm, and Decline of Modern Civilization.
We agreed on a lot
it's
there.
It's crazy between all three of those EPs, like how we almost picked the same songs.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, they're all going to have their standouts.
Oh, yeah.
So
my overall thoughts, they had some consistent sounds between all of the EPs. Bonfires, mm-hmm, is probably their best one because it's the most well-produced.
Yep.
Nice start, but nothing like jumped out like the full lengths to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still fun listens.
Yeah, yeah. I like it because you get to like see the beginning stages. And I think that they really came. I don't want to say they came a long way because the EPs are really good.
Yeah.
But I do like you do see that growth, and like I'll start talking after the first record. But like I feel like there's almost a genre switch a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was really kind of surprising to me.
They almost do that twice.
Twice, you say?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We'll get into it.
Okay. So we have an interview Roper from punknews.org by Kyle O'Neill. They were asked, what was the writing process like for We Are Everywhere? Where did you guys record it? They responded, we recorded at Nada Studios in New Windsor, New York. We had two songs off our demo, and those were already written, besides being tweaked a little bit. Basically, Dave would come up with basic ideas for a song and bring it to practice, and then we would all put our own input and create something together. Sometimes we started off with something acoustic, and other times we would start writing with the whole band. When it came to the lyrics, we would all hang out and listen to our instruments demo playing on the stereo. We went back and forth coming up with ideas, and we found that one line would usually spark another. It was very much a group effort, which is cool, because usually, like, especially lyrically, there's one person that kind of like has the reins on it. Yeah. All maybe they get some input here and there. When like producing a song, or I mean, the only way I've ever done it is just had an acoustic guitar, wrote a song, and then like tried to, because you have to like meld all these instruments together. Yeah. But I never had someone that, like, I didn't have five other people's ear like talking to me. So you really have to have that chemistry to actually make it work.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's a good thing about being in a band. You guys all have chemistry.
But if you don't.
If you don't, you're not going to be very successful.
Adios. Although Oasis, they all hate each other.
Well, they're brothers.
Well, not
they, they have biology and chemistry.
Oh.
They're brothers.
The chemistry is explosive, if you will.
What's a chemist term for explosive?
Boom.
Volatile.
Volatile.
Covalent bonds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is more than I know about science.
Have chemistry.
I took chemistry once, and I hated it.
I didn't take chemistry.
You didn't take chemistry?
I took chemistry in the community, and it was like the pre-chemistry class, and then I didn't take chemistry my senior year. I said, fuck that.
Dude, my senior year, I did nothing.
Same.
I did an accounting class that the teacher hated me, and I about failed. It's like the easiest class.
I took like three art classes.
Oh, yeah.
And a psychology class, a basic math class. Because I think I could have graduated my first semester of my senior year, but I was like, I want to hang out with all my friends for another 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like funny. I was smart. I just had really good grades.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
I was a solid C+ student all the
I
way.
I worked really hard.
Did you?
I did, because I'm not very smart.
You're smart.
Yeah. Whatever.
You're a smart man. You hide all your knowledge in your beard.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I trim it, I lose a little bit of knowledge.
Do you have a lot of nose hair?
Do I have a lot of nose hair?
Yeah.
Does it look like it?
No, but like I've started to have to shave my nose hairs.
I've been plucking some of mine out.
Really? I don't like the feeling of it being plucked.
I like it.
You like it.
Yeah. It's kind of satisfying to tear up, you know?
I'm going to start plucking out your beard hairs then.
Dude, my girlfriend did that yesterday.
Yesterday?
Just this long one was, because I got my beard trimmed yesterday.
I was going to say, you look very nice.
Randomly, she just takes her two fingers and pulls this hair out, and it like was on like a sensitive part of my chin. So my skin's like a little soft there, and it fucking hurt for some reason.
She's not with us anymore.
Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Other than that, she's a sweetheart.
What have I done?
I just plucked one chin hair. Now I'm dead.
Continuing with the interview. What kind of things inspire your lyrics? Are they based on solely personal experiences? The lyrics are very personal. All the lyrics on We Are Everywhere, as well as our upcoming full length, are all things which we can relate to, instead of just coming from a personal perspective. Some songs touch on issues that might not be something we all go through all the time, but all our songs are about something at least one of us has gone through or have seen our friends go through. It's kind of hard to write a song that like you haven't, like, about a perspective that you don't have.
Yeah, I don't understand how people can write, like, concept records about something that doesn't exist. I guess you have to pull from personal experiences.
Yeah, I mean,
write it into a character, but
I, like, when I tried, like, writing through the perspective of, like, not me, I always, like, try to, like, 180 things. Like, how would I react if that had happened? Or, like, and, you know, like, for instance, here we go. And Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties, my favorite.
Not a Wonder Years.
It's not a Wonder Years, technically. I'm just a huge fan of Dan Campbell.
It's okay.
He, like, his dad is very much still alive. So he's like, what if my dad died? And then, you know, I mean, I think there's tons of that because you have to put yourself into it a little bit or else.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's like a robot wrote it.
Isn't there, hasn't a robot written music before?
Probably. You know what I hate seeing? There's always two where it's like, I programmed a robot to write a new pop punk song.
Yeah,
and it's
I
on
saw
TikTok
that.
And it's like, okay, you're a liar. Or my favorite one, which is even more of a liar, is like, I paid Fiverr people $5 to write a whole pop punk song and this is what it came out. And then it's like a like decent song. And then they're like, oh, I actually did it.
It's just like, kidding.
Cool. Why'd you even lie about
it? Yeah, it's because they're afraid it's going to suck.
I was like, oh, you guys don't like it? Me either.
Yeah. I didn't write that.
I wouldn't do that. The song's terrible.
Terrible.
So anything else on the EPs?
No, they're just like a fun listen. If you want to start anywhere with this band, I would recommend the EPs.
Really? I would highly recommend to not listen to the EPs and listen to our standout songs on the LPs first.
Okay.
That way you get drawn in and then you want to invest, then
I can see that
you go back more.
Yeah.
Because every time like someone's like, yeah, just start from the beginning, and the beginning's like not that great, I'm like, I'm sure it gets better.
But these guys, like, I don't know, their sound is so consistent in those EPs that it's
They're very, 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 very similar. Yeah. I think the last EP, Bonfires, like definitely held closer to the LPs.
Oh, than yeah.
The
rest well, because yeah, because it's in between two LPs.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair. Which brings us to our first LP.
Yeah.
All I Have to Offer is My Own Confusion, which dropped in 2009.
Wow.
So, I'm going to start off with my standout song, which is the only song I listened to them by, forever.
Years.
And I still think it's their best song.
It's a good song.
2923 Monroe Street. Maybe this year I'll get myself off the floor and try to pretend that things are getting better, that I'm changing, but I still feel the same. I think this song, like, encapsulates what I usually go for in music, which is an upbeat jam, and like the guitars are really prevalent. And then like when I listen to the rest of the records, I realize that this song kind of stands out as in, it doesn't really sound like a lot of the other songs by them, which I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, I would compare this more to like classic 2015 pop punk music.
Yeah.
Which is like the golden ages for
me.
Came
out like,
even before.
Six years before.
A solid 6 years.
Solid 6 years.
But they did have some other great tracks, such as I Support Same-Sex Marriage. Detroit, which was probably my number two.
Detroit's really good.
Yeah, I really like Detroit. Geography, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Von Gut. I don't know. And Me. Do you know how to pronounce it?
Yeah, but I'm just going to wait.
I'm done. Correct me.
No.
What do you mean?
Because.
How do we pronounce Von Gut?
It's Vonnegut.
Oh.
Kurt Vonnegut, the author.
Yeah, because I would know an author. I know J.K. Rowling's.
Yeah, she doesn't like trans people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she's older, so.
And they're changing the name to Quidditch to a different name now.
Why?
I don't know.
You can't even do that. The lore's done.
Well, I'm talking about the people who like try to play it in real life.
Oh.
I don't even know why they would try to play it in real life. You can't.
Because, why? Because they all hate J.K. Rowling.
They don't like that she's a transphobe.
Oh, well, yeah, I get that.
I mean, she's wrong.
But like, what do you, like, there's no way that someone's famous that you like, is they just, you agree
Nobody's
with everything.
Perfect, yeah.
And I'm not saying like, you should definitely accept trans people. That's not what I'm saying. But.
Wait, not what you're saying is you should?
No, I'm saying you should accept trans people.
Yes, you should.
What if I was like, how awkward that would this podcast be?
That's what
be?
I thought you were saying there for a second. I'm like, hey, let's edit that out.
No, not what I was trying to say. I'm just saying like, I mean, like, we all have older people in our lives. They lived a different generation.
They just don't get it.
It doesn't make them right.
No.
But it also, it's like, you know, my favorite story to tell about my dad, which was we were watching the Ellen show.
Oh, okay.
And some guy comes out and he has a very flamboyant voice.
Yeah.
And my dad goes, that guy's gayer than gay. And I went, what's that mean? And he's like, it means he's gay. I'm like, yeah, but what's like gayer than gay?
That's clever, Dad.
And then he was just like, he just started like mumbling to himself. I gotta keep him in check. I'm like, now we accept the gays, Dad.
Yeah.
We accept the gays. I do support same-sex marriage.
Yes.
Boom, reference. Anyway, and then the last song that was another standout. When we stand on each other, we block out the sun.
It's a good one.
Overall thoughts, I really think this was an incredible step forward from the EPs, which I know, like I said, the EP sounded great, but I just think this was like what they needed to do.
Yeah.
Like they need to release this to like move past the EPs and be more established. Although I guess Bonfires came out later. So regardless, there are certain songs that stand out more than others on this record, but overall, great first LP.
Yeah.
I think most LPs always have a few, I don't want to call them stinkers, but like,
it's not quite the first LP. Like you're not going to, some bands knock it out of the park,
mm-hmm.
like Newfound Glory. A few other bands have had very like Knuckle Puck has like a great first LP. But then
what's their first LP called?
That's Copacetic.
Oh, that was a really good.
But they also had three EPs to write towards that LP.
I still think their EPs are their best work.
I think,
which is rare.
I think I think Copacetic's my favorite, but then not The Weight That You Buried, but the one that came out after that. The one with But Why Would You Care?
Yeah, that one is probably my favorite song with them.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about them.
But we could.
All right, so
you could talk about
the
first LP.
I will.
It's called All I Have to Offer.
All I Have to Offer is My Own Confusion.
Mm-hmm.
My stand-up.
And that dropped in 2009.
Oh, yes, it did. the first... Wow, dude.
I'm sorry.
My brain just shut off there for a second.
I saw the bit of annoyance.
Did you see me reset?
Yeah, I did.
Like, what?
Don't just, he knows what he's doing. Don't.
Yeah. Don't play into it.
Don't play into it.
No, the standout track that I picked is Geography, Vonnegut, and Me.
Don't you mean Vonnegut?
Vonnegut. Some other tracks that I liked were Closet Weather, Detroit, and I Support Same-Sex Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
My dad didn't make a gay joke watching Ellen, so I can't.
So you don't have a story to follow that up?
I cannot.
It wasn't even a joke.
No.
That's the worst part.
I know. That's pretty funny, though, that you, like, called out your dad.
Yeah.
You're like, what does that mean?
It's just one of those, like,
what's the, like, you're in your own house and you're like, why do you have to even say it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't prove anything.
I think he grew up in Southern Iowa.
Yeah.
Like,
I get it.
Like, I understand why he thinks the way he does, but I got to keep him in check, you know?
You got to.
Got to make him a good person.
Yep. And then one day down the line, your dad's going to be around the gays, you know? And
mm-hmm.
He's going to be like, man, thank God my son was there that day that I made fun of.
I'm just saying,
on Ellen.
I could have easily turned out gay.
You could have.
So
I've seen it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I've seen it. Just like being gay for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, all right. I need to stop. All right. What do you think? What were your
overall thoughts? I thought this was like a really good debut album for them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice consistent sound throughout the whole album. It's like fun and upbeat.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of think of their EPs too. Like there's not a dramatic shift in tone for this band. Really.
I think it's refined.
It's refined.
At this point.
It gets better at this point, but then like later albums, I'll get into it where it kind of shifts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like this album. It's not something that I go to all the time when I listen to Fireworks.
Yeah.
But it was still a cool, nice change of pace for me.
Burp it out. Get it out.
Dying.
Mm-hmm. Get it out.
I'm just... I was going to say something that I'm... Nah, I'm not going to say it.
Okay. I won't even press you on it.
Please don't.
What do we got for interviews on this one?
So this one was kind of... it piggybacks off that last interview that we read from punknews.org. Kyle O'Neill, they had asked him a question. As for the sound of your upcoming album, what can people expect from it and their upcoming album? Was this one that we're talking about?
Ooh.
Kyle said, I think people can expect it to still sound like fireworks, except more mature and developed than before. Lyrically, we have definitely grown as people, and the songs are definitely different. I would say it is more structured, but still aggressive and real. It is probably the best thing that I have ever done, and I'm really stoked for it. Everyone who has heard it has liked it so far, and I guess we will have to wait and see what everybody else will think. Well, you know what? It's 12 years later. No.
2009?
It is.
13.
13 years later?
About to be 14.
And it still holds up.
It holds up. It's a solid. So. I think it almost may have been ahead of its time.
Yeah, well, you did say that it kind of sounded, it reminded you of the 2015.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of was, because if you look back at 2009, like the big like pop punk bands were like All Time Low, Mayday Parade.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
I could see some inspiration from them, but Transit, I really think they did their own thing.
Yeah, Transit wasn't even around there. They didn't start until, well, actually, no, they probably started around this year.
They started, yeah, I think they started around this era is when they started to pick up steam at least.
Bigger, yeah.
I mean, a lot of these bands are like friends in like the Warped Tour scene, although I can't think of Fireworks being on Warped Tour.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if they were by any means, but... which leads us to our next LP, Gospel.
Hell yeah, dude.
It dropped in 2011. So my standout song, Arrows. Arrows was really good. It was, I'll get into it later.
Remember when I said,
other standout tracks. I Thought Teeth was good.
Yeah.
Oh, Why Can't We Start Old and Get Younger? Another great title. They have really good titles for songs.
They do.
Life Is Killing Me and Ooh. The Wild Bunch. My overall Ooh. Thoughts. I was surprised by this record.
Yeah.
I feel like the roots remain. But the overall style has shifted in a way.
Yes.
Like this record surpasses the first record with a more like controlled, I'm going to say this, indie rock vibe.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like there's some indie rock in there. It was a pleasant surprise. I really slept on this record.
Yeah.
I will do a little spoiler alert and say I think this is probably their best release as a whole. It doesn't have my favorite song on it. So, but you know, I do think like, I could listen to this album front to back a lot easier than I could every other record by them. Not to say I couldn't listen to front to back for the rest of the records, but something special about Gospel.
Yeah.
I really liked Gospel. What do you think? What do you got?
My standout song was X's on Trees. That was the first song that I ever heard by him.
Oh.
Like in general. In this album.
Ever.
Ever. Other standout tracks for me were Arrows, Wild Bunch, Oh Why Can't We Start Old and Get Younger. Paintings of Paul Revere was really good too. Overall thoughts, this album was my introduction to Fireworks and it remains my favorite by them.
Ooh, we agree.
I can definitely hear the Newfound Glory influence. They recorded with Chad Gilbert on this one.
Oh, okay.
And lyrically, just a fun record. Vocals are always, like, his vocals, like, kind of caught me off guard the first time I heard him. Because, like, when you think of pop punk, I don't really think of his voice, you know?
Yeah, it's not more of a tamed calm.
It's not really like whiny or anything. You know, sometimes pop punk vocalists.
I have a hard time distinguishing who's whiny and who's not.
Yeah.
It's because I'm also whiny.
I'm whiny.
Are we whiny boys?
And then instrumentally, it's a lot different. I mean, it's a lot more mature, like you said, than the last albums, but they throw in some like little keyboards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking dope.
Yeah, I think which is kind of interesting that Chad, you said Chad, right?
Yeah.
Produced this record because I don't see him working with a ton of that kind of stuff. I guess I do. You know what? Something to talk about. So they just re-released that one record on physical media. The suitcase.
Oh, the is that Coming Home?
I think so.
Yeah,
I always forget, but it has my favorite song by them, which I always forget about. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Is it Coming, or is it Hold My Hand?
No,
that's my. Please,
for someone who like knows this, there must be like going crazy right now.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Oh my god, I gotta find it real quick. 2006.
2006? Oh, damn.
It's Not Your Fault.
Oh, I love that song. It's not your fault, so please stop your crying now. This does have a lot of, like...
This album sounds very different.
This album's a lot different than their other stuff.
I think this was them trying to get more into, like...
Mainstreamy.
But anyway, yeah, It's Not Your Fault is the title, and it was... The main melody of the song, that was like 100% stolen by One Directioners, or was it Five Sauce? It was one of those two. It
could be Five Sauce because they're a little more pop punky.
Yeah, I can't remember, but regardless, it was definitely stolen. And they made this tweet, and they were like, "Well, thanks for making our song a number one hit."
Yeah,
but you know what they didn't do? They didn't sue like Ocean Avenue.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sue,
or not Yellow Car is what I meant to say.
Yeah, they didn't sue a dead person.
Yeah, not very tasteful, guys. But anyway,
You want to get into some. Interviews? Man, there's a lot on here.
Oh, boy. I'll start off.
Fuck me.
They asked... Oh, it was an interview with Kill Your Stereo, and they asked, how did the writing and recording process for Gospel differ from the band's previous album? Well, first of all, the first record was created with Chad Gilbert, and that was really cool because we'd never had a producer or anything like that before. It was something new to us, and it was cool... Oh, it was a cool collaborative process working with Chad. He's a smart guy, and he came up with a lot of cool ideas, and that was fun. I think in the period between All I Have to Offer is My Own Confusion and Gospel, we've learned a lot about our band and the direction we want to go, and musically and all that. I think that by the time it got around to making a new album, we were just more honest with ourselves, and we just started writing with no particular thing in mind, just whatever came organically. By the time we were returning to the studio, it was a really open creative process. We had a lot of more time, a month of pre-production, which is crazy. There was much more freedom this time around, which is kind of sad that like bands are kind of constrained to a certain amount of time to like actually release something, because once you do that, like you're not releasing your best product.
Yeah, exactly. Like that whole like 2-year cycle thing that's going on
between
records.
It's generally too much.
I just feel like they get done like writing an album, and of course they're sick of playing those songs, and then it's instantly like, all right, let's focus on the next thing. I think a lot more bands would almost benefit more creatively if they had more time.
I do too. I think it's good to put a little bit of pressure on a band, because sometimes people stay stagnant and like but like there's a lot less time for creativity and experimentation, which is a lot of times what bands need. But then you get into that little effect of, oh, they don't even sound the same anymore. It's like, well, the same record's still there.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's like a double-edged sword, because if they sound too much of the same people are going to be like, oh, they haven't progressed. And then if they differ, like if they go super far off the path that they were on, everybody's gonna be like, I hate that. You know? I mean, I've fallen victim to that too, but
I think 4 Years Strong does a really good job at like making things sound consistent but like still different.
Yeah, they know their sound too. They know what the people want.
Agreed.
What gets the people going? Okay.
What gets them okay time to jump back into this. We got work to do. You're fired. You're hired. All right, go, Roper.
The album seems to source its musical ideas from a wide spectrum of influences. Was this a consensus or a conscious decision to differentiate from the generic pop punk formula? And then they said, I think it would be easier to say, you know, some might argue that pop punk has a formula and a certain style of songwriting, and by rights with the music that you're making, you'll be put under the title of that genre. It's just a weird sentence.
It was a little funky.
Yeah. I think that we're super proud of the idea that people think we're a pop punk band, because even though we might not think that, we like the idea of people liking our music in general. That's a pretty good takeaway, though.
Mm-hmm.
They can call it whatever they want. They can call it pop punk or even Western country. Who says Western country?
I do now.
So long as they like what we're hearing. Wow. This guy's just crazy.
This guy is off the wall.
We just write music, and I don't think that's to a specific sound. Like you said, we have a variety of influences, and I think that we can share that in our music while growing apart from pigeonholing into a certain scene. Ooh.
Ah.
Wow.
Then they ask, much of the album's lyrical content deals with camaraderie and past experiences. Was it your intention to make a nostalgic and personal record? I feel like it's always intentional to make a personal record.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a very impersonal record. I'm not attached to this at all. He said, yeah, definitely. Chris is the main lyricist in our band, but it's more of a collaborative process. The ideas are definitely there to focus more on the past and personal struggles, showing a pessimistic look on things, but also finding some comfort in that. I think that it's always been a theme in our band that even if you may be uncomfortable, it's okay to be down on yourself sometimes. I think a lot of the themes are about embracing the unwanted time and being proud of who you want to be. I don't know how to explain it, but we definitely want to reflect a lot on our personal past and our band. So, I mean, I think that's like what most people draw from is like past experiences and whatnot. I think it's really hard to not talk like that. Like that, or you got a political song almost, which still you're going to have your personal preferences in there. So anyway, last LP, Roper.
All right.
Oh, Common Life, dropped in 2014. My standout song. I want to go with the title track. Or not the title. I'm going to go with the first track. Glowing Crosses. And yeah, the night just grew its face. Some other standout tracks, Run Brother Run, which if you look at the views on the Spotify, like the
huge,
it's like eclipses the rest of the record. And I don't understand why. Like, it's a great song.
I think it might have just been on like maybe on a certain playlist that was popular. I don't know.
It definitely could be. You know what's even more interesting is that like it's at the end of the album.
Yeah.
It's like the third to last one, I think. So it's just interesting that that's the one that kind of threw up there. I also liked Files on Tape, Play God Only Knows at My Funeral, and The Sound of Young America, which Dan Campbell talks about. Ooh. God Only Knows in his song with Wyatt's song.
It's because
just so everyone knows.
It's a famous Beach Boys or a popular Beach Boys song.
I don't even know if I know
God
it.
God only knows how much I love you. That's how it sounds.
Oh, like oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's on their one of their most popular or probably their most popular album, Pet Sounds.
Oh, yeah, that.
And that album, did you know that album
keep going.
Was like they practiced meticulously so that way they could only like record it in one take. Like, sir, I think it's one song on that album that is, and it might be God Only Knows. I don't know. My government teacher in high school told us about it because he's a big Beach Boys fan. Shout out to Mr. Fink, who does not listen to this.
But he may.
But he may one day.
Speaking of, what'd you say he taught?
Government,
yeah. What a horrible class. I hated government.
You did?
Yeah. It was like,
it's literally just structure class.
It is. It's like, this is why we do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. The only thing I got was like the legislative branch, the executive branch.
And the judicial.
Judicial. I always read judicial. And they all balance each other out because one can, or two can outweigh the other or something like that. But then you give one man one of those branches and then things start to get a little dicey.
The power to veto.
Anyway.
And filibuster.
Filibuster. Overall thoughts, I think this was a good follow-up, but I don't think it quite beats out the previous record.
It's really hard.
I'm going to say it. I think they focus on slow jams over their upbeat music they've released in past releases, which doesn't make it better or worse, but it's not my personal favorite.
Yeah.
So, I definitely enjoyed this record, but I didn't see the growth that I did from previous releases.
Yeah.
It was very, it felt very part two-y to the previous record.
I could kind of see that.
Yeah. I could be everyone could disagree with me though. But that was just my thoughts. Roper, how about you? Tell us your thoughts.
Oh, my standout song from this was Run Brother Run. Coffee cups collect at the side of my bed, a red pants push through the places up in. I tie them together with the string. The pattern just tells me go to sleep. I should go to sleep. Getting used to my skin, but it doesn't fit right. I share my name with a stranger all my life, and I feel it all. Carolina in my blood. Run, brother. I know it sounds cliche, but this song is actually really fucking good.
It's a great song,
and I don't know. Because I guess I was so used to hearing, like, a beat Fireworks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Run Brother Run, and then a few other songs on this album are, I don't know, I'm a sucker for a slow song. And, like, his voice is really good in a ballad.
Yes.
So agreed. I think that's why it stands out so good, or so well.
Ugh. I think Run Brother
so
Run
good.
May be my second favorite song by this band.
It's good. It's really good. I don't know.
Detroit?
But gospel really fucking, I can't get past that record.
Mm.
It's so good.
It is very good.
Other standout tracks, Play God Only Knows at My Funeral, and Bed Sores is super catchy for a dark, like, this album's kind of darker, mm-hmm. but Bed Sores is, like, the more so upbeat, and it's got, like, the little keyboard in it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I almost picked that one. But yeah, Files on Tape is good, too. When I went to type out this, what are we doing right now?
Draft.
Or outline. Mm. I stopped on this, and I didn't fill out the rest. But I have come back to this record the most out of the past 2 weeks of listening to this band,
mm-hmm.
just because it's a nice change of pace of, like, what I was used to by this band, like I had said earlier. I do like the kind of more so emo direction that they went in with this album.
Sure.
Like I said, I'm a sucker for ballads, and like David's voice is really good on this album. And then the addition of like the keyboards and stuff like that from the past two albums are a nice change of pace for this band. But you're not going to beat gospel in my book.
No gospel beater over gospel. Here.
Beat that gospel.
Should we jump into the last interview?
Yeah, this one isn't as long as the last one.
Here we go. I like it.
Oh, Jesus.
Interview with Spotlight Report, done by David MacKinder.
MacKinder, their lead singer.
David MacKinder.
MacKinder.
So you guys released an album this year called Oh Common Life. Could you tell me more about it and what the album brought to the band? Oh Common Life came out in March. We think it's our most honest work, and it's been a natural progression from gospel, which I'd agree with.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely had a bit of time between two albums. I know a lot of people were in the dark about what we were doing and what was going on. A lot of personal situations were very packed on with my life, and I think with the writing, we definitely took the opportunity to put the stuff that was happening into the record and just combine them. Then do you want to do this last one here?
Yeah. So looking at the track list, the titles of the songs are quite dark. How did this happen? And where did the inspiration come from? David says, we have like a dark undertone lyrically, but we'd balance that with our pop punky music. Some of our songs are references like, you know, play God Only Knows at My Funeral makes reference to the Beach Boys song. Is definitely a sadder record in a lyrical sense, but we think it's pretty real, and I think people are resonating with that. in quotes, or not quotes, parentheses, the track list, which is really nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's been a long day, folks.
Yeah, we got to do what we got to do right here. So final thoughts. I really like what I heard, but I don't think this band was what I had expected, which could be better or worse depending on my mood. I really enjoyed everything I listened to. I just have a hard time thinking like when I would like put these in like based on my mood or like the weather. I've like noticed whenever it gets colder, I start listening to the Menzingers more.
Yeah. They're a perfect fall band.
So perfect. I've been even, what was it, like 60 degrees? And I was like, oh, yes, Menzingers.
Puts on my Menzinger sweater.
I've been having a horrible time. Anyway. So I'm trying to like see where I think what I'm gonna do is like pick like my five favorite songs and like just sprinkle them in every now and again.
That's a good idea.
But there must be a curse with this band because they are definitely a slept on band based on what I've heard.
Yeah.
And I think everyone that are fans of Fireworks would agree with that. I saw a lot of similarities to Transit and maybe some Young Fall Out Boy that I did not expect, especially the Fall Out Boy one.
Yeah.
Transit kind of makes a little bit more sense, but maybe Transit was influenced by Fireworks.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm, based off the timelines here.
Yeah.
And the instruments and vocals sounded great in like every record. And I really like the originality of the vocalist.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely a vocalist that you can pick out from a crowd.
Oh yeah, he definitely stands out.
And he's just good.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's got that nice calm undertone.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I'm mad I didn't give this band a chance at first.
How mad are you?
I'm pretty pissed off. Pretty fucking mad.
He just starts throwing shit around my room.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'm not that mad.
Oh, okay.
I love the newfound glory similarities throughout their discography. Pretty consistent sound throughout the discography until like the last two records where you can kind of see them mature their sound a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why they're friends with our boys, the Wonder Years, because lyrically a lot of their music is similar.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the new record that they're going to put out.
Speaking of which, did you listen to the single, the one thing we didn't talk about that they dropped in 2019?
Yeah, I listened to that.
I
like it.
Don't like it.
Oh, you don't?
No. It's too experimentally sounding to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
It seems like a weird song to drop.
Well, I think they had planned to announce a whole like tour or record.
Yeah. A lot of existentialism.
Existentialism?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of how I felt a lot of dread listening to that song.
And who knows?
They so I still have high hopes, though. Yeah. I think they'll release something cool.
I think they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a pretty good time going back and listening to this band because, like I said, I just hadn't really dove deep except for gospel.
This is gospel.
Yeah.
For the fallen ones. Sorry.
Good one.
Thank you. But yeah, that's our thoughts on
our final thoughts.
The good old Firework boys.
Mm-hmm. Fireworks.
Happy to see that they're going to be releasing something soon.
Me too.
I bet any day we get an announcement. So should we talk about the listener responses?
Yeah.
Well, what question did you ask?
I said, who is a band or an artist that should be bigger than they are?
Who is it, damn it?
Ardtown says Debt Cemetery.
Never heard of them.
Neither have I.
Trouble Rebel of Falls. I feel like you messed that one up.
Oh, Tiny Falls. I forgot the tiny.
Oh, my God.
It's just in tiny print. Can't you see it?
Oh, no. You got me. Be Good Elliot.
Hey, they were on our show.
Be Good Elliot. Yeah, they were.
They're an up-and-coming band.
Up-and-coming, yep.
Yeah.
Sad Saturno.
Sad Saturno. I've heard them before.
I've not heard them.
Yeah.
Thai Body Dump.
Ooh, that sounds great.
He's got a fucking list here. Neutral Snap and Johnny Goth. There's too many favorites to just pick one. Also, sorry for being gone. I miss you guys, but I'm binging all the episodes I missed as we speak. That's so nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Falls.
We love you.
Or Mrs. Falls.
We should figure that shit out.
Yeah, we should.
We should have him on as a guest one day.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He does.
They deserve
they
it.
They do. They deserve it. Terrence D. Carr says, Patrick Kearns or The Who?
The Who?
I've seen The Who in concert, and man, that was wild.
Have you really?
That's the one that me, Chris, and Brian went to, and they don't speak any English, so in the middle of each song, they're like, thank you so much.
Thank you much.
And then they're, we thought they were going to play it like, they're like, last song. And they only, then they started to play like five more songs. And we're like, that wasn't the last song. Next song. Thank you so much. Dude, Chris and I still, every once in a while, we'll just go, next song. So
what's
bad.
Their native language?
They're Mongolian.
Mongolian.
Mm-hmm. And their instruments are fucking wild, dude. They're all strings, but they have like, they're all like the stock, like the headstocks on them are like scythes and stuff and like weapons.
Oh, fucking they did something cool. For Halo, didn't they?
Yeah, no, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Fallen Order, they did the like two main tracks on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there like any lyrics or anything?
I mean, it's all in Mongolian.
No. So,
a lot of growls.
Francisco underscore G underscore 19 says Dan Campbell.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. The Wonder Years are absolutely amazing. And if they weren't sad enough, he created Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties. We Don't Have Each Other is tied for my favorite concept record of all time. Tied? What, he could even come close to that. Not to mention his self-named solo stuff. Also very good. It's also very amazing. He's probably the best writer in pop punk, and he's up there for me in music in general. Hey, if you want to hang out, you know, all you got to do is ask. Roper's looking at his tattoo right now. He's got a new Hank the Pigeon tattoo.
Yeah, it's peeling.
It's peeling.
Yeah, it looks pretty dope, doesn't it, dude?
It does. You got a little dick butt on your forearm now.
Dick butt.
What else?
Is that what it looks like?
That's what someone, I had a flag. I don't know where it's at right now, but it has Hank on it.
Yeah.
And then Jordan, asked, he's like, why do you have dick butt on your wall? And I'm like,
it does, dude.
As soon as he said that, like, I'm not even joking, as soon as he said that, I was filled with misery. I was like, oh my god. And the sad thing is, he's like 100% right. So
that's why we love Jordan.
Francesco, I am so sorry that I've potentially ruined Hank the Pigeon for you, since you're such a big fan of the 1D years. But Roper, you should go on the next one here.
Dick butt. High gain pity party says, well, I think a lot of bands need the journey to become great, which will make them big. If they didn't have the journey, then they might not last if they became big. So kind of hard to answer. Maybe I'm thinking too big. LOL, I haven't had my coffee yet. That's not what we asked.
Yeah. I don't see
a band in there.
Yeah. Yeah, where the band at? I get what he's saying though, because like, yeah, some bands that like instantly shoot to like stardom like kind of crash and burn pretty fast.
Yeah, and they just have that lucky single sometimes.
Yeah,
that's why they're called one hit wonders. Never gonna give you up.
Not the song, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Unsigned Pop Punk says Nominee, which I've been hearing the name.
Nominee is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I need to check them out.
Unsigned Pop Punk has a dope ass playlist too.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked to them a little bit.
He's on TikTok, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A cool band says Tiny Voices.
Have you heard of them?
I saw that on our Twitter thread that a bunch of people like were talking about Tiny Voices, so I listened to them a little bit. They're pretty good. I don't think you would like them because they're more so like melodic hardcore.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, there's some cases where that's not the case. I'd like them, but yeah.
They were really good. I was surprised.
Meme Ghoul. I don't know if that's right, but I'm gonna go with it.
Meme Gale.
Oh, Meme Gale?
Yep.
Meme Gale. Equipment, Gale. Hands down, deserves so much. Their entire discography is goated. Greatest of all time.
I'm gonna have to check out Equipment.
Yeah, I mean, like, you may be overselling
check
us.
Check out that Equipment.
Mm-hmm. So if they're not my new favorite band, then we're done.
Then they're not goated.
We are blocking you.
Booze Radley said me.
Who are you?
I'm assuming Booze Radley is a band, which Booze Radley is one of the coolest names I've ever heard.
It is a cool name.
Because it reminds me of To Kill a Mockingbird, because of Boo Radley, obviously.
Oh, and then, maybe that's and what
then,
the reference is.
And then beer.
And
because booze.
Because booze.
It's a good one.
All right. Also, Meme Girl, we won't block you. That was just
Meme Girl.
So, thank you for... listen all the way out
all
here.
All your responses.
All your responses, yeah, as well are always... We so much enjoy listening or hearing what you guys have to say.
Yeah.
It's
a big part of our show.
It is. It is. But speaking of a big part of our show, we got to jump into the next section.
Big ones.
All Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social media. Roper!
Hey!
Pay attention. Because this week we have Wasting Time with their song, Game Night. So what is this Wasting Time band here? Well, they are a pop punk quartet from Toronto with influences that include Alkaline Trio, No Use for a Name, and Smoking Popes. Ooh. I know Alkaline Trio, but I don't know the other ones.
You don't know Smoking Popes?
I don't think so. The quartet has been active since 2017 with one full length, several EPs and singles under their belts, and a sophomore album due for release this spring of 2022.
We are way past the spring, and so we're sorry.
Yeah, you guys should check that out. But anyway, so what's the song about? Game Night is the latest single off of Wasting Time's upcoming album, Once More Without Feeling. It's an up-tempo, melodic punk tune inspired by the uncertainties, apprehensions, and moves that one considers on a first date.
Ooh.
Roper, we need to listen to this. We may need this one day. We never know.
Are you going to make me do it?
Yeah, do it.
Gotta do something. You ready for
Let's
me?
Let's just go.
I thought you were pulling up the sign.
I
Let's
am,
just
but
kick
I'm...
it.
Did you get an Offspring vibe?
Got an Offspring vibe. I can definitely see the Bouncing Souls influence. Uh-huh. A lot more, like, almost melancholy, too. Not quite as raspy, but it's more so like that, like, 90s skate punk vibe,
yeah.
Which is Very nice. Mm-hmm. Nice change of pace, too.
Yeah, I needed this.
Yeah.
This was great. I loved every second of this one.
Oh, they almost remind me a little bit of Lagwagon, too.
I don't think I've heard of Lagwagon.
Yeah. You might have heard one song by them, but...
I don't think they sound like Alkaline Trio, though.
I kind of. I don't know.
Maybe?
I'm just like, I'm glad that they didn't put in their bio, like, main influence, Blink-182, and then wrote a Blink-182 song.
Yeah. That's something that we need to work on, team. Yeah.
Come on, guys.
This was great. I loved it. The drums sounded awesome. The guitars were fucking wicked. I like some of the, like, that was fucking dope as shit.
Vocals are nice.
Yeah, vocals stand out awesomely. Yeah. You did a fantastic job. So this band is fan-fucking-tastic. Yes. They're called Wasting Time. This was game night. I'm stalling till I get to see how many monthly, 346 monthly listeners.
Bullshit.
This is bullshit. I hate it.
Go check out their new album.
Yeah, their newest record, One More Without Feeling, which looks like it's picking up some steam, though.
Yeah.
It's got some songs.
Wow, that's a lot of, My Limited French.
Yeah,
25,000?
That's not bad for only 300-some monthly listeners, so.
That's quarter of 100,000.
No, geez, that's criminy. So, guys, check out Wasting Light. They are worth your time.
Wasting Time. As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere. That's Instagram, that's Facebook, and Twitter, and more. Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show
grow.
Oh, every single song you heard on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up and coming bands from each season, as well as our pop, punk, emo, supremo picks playlist that I curate weekly.
Better be.
Don't forget to check out our new show, Pop, Punk, Emo, Supremo News, for all your monthly news, tour announcements, and more.
Yeah, we're gonna step up on that. Coming soon.
I got an idea for us.
Ooh, we'll have to talk about it.
You guys don't need to hear about this.
Roper, what's your hot take, baby?
You have an issue with the color of a fictional character's skin.
Such as?
I don't know. Just seeing, like, a lot of people are mad that Ariel is black.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's a fictional character.
Yeah.
How does that affect your daily life?
I don't know. It definitely doesn't. You know what I'm fucking hate? Here's my hot topic, whatever. It's my take, and it's hot, baby.
It's hot.
I am fucking sick of Disney live-action movies.
Yeah.
I am so sick of them.
Let's get fucking creative, dude.
Stop it. Make something new. Stop wasting your time with these live-action movies. Yes, I can always go back to the originals, and don't tell me I already have, but I have never once... can't think of a time, at least, watched a live-action Disney movie.
I haven't. I was disappointed.
Were you disappointed?
I'd much rather watch them in cartoon, because that's where the magic was.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Disney.
Yeah, I just hate it. I hate it so much. The Lion King one,
That's my main, like, gripe.
Yeah. Like, well, YMS, your movie sucks on YouTube, if you ever listened or watched him. Like, he had, like, a fucking long-ass video on it, and it exposed a lot. Like, I've never seen the movie, so... I probably shouldn't have any right to talk, but I'm going to. But just talk about, like, how, like, even in the songs, like, they were, like, off-key on, like, certain points.
I just refuse to see it because the original one's perfect.
It is a perfect, phenomenal movie.
I watched that movie so much as a kid.
Did you? What was my favorite Disney movie as a kid? I always really liked Aladdin. I think Aladdin has the best soundtrack for me. Yeah. Or Tarzan probably has the best soundtrack.
Oh, Tarzan definitely has the best soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're going to have a live Monkey Boy soon.
Goofy movie is like...
Oh, don't make a live action of that, Disney.
No, you can't, because dogs aren't real people.
Oh, my God. I would like... You know what live action movie I would see? Toy Story, for some reason.
That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be interesting to, like, see how they do it.
How they would do it?
Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in, like, how... I mean, they're going to do it. They've made a live action movie out of... Well, Pixar hasn't been touched, though. So, maybe not.
Do you think they would try to make a live-action Lilo and Stitch?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I bet it's probably in production right now. So, so what do you? What should you take away from this episode? I'll tell you. You should listen to the Fireworks discography. Yeah. You should check out the bands that were criminally underrated in our listener responses.
Yes.
you need to check out our up-and-coming band, Wasting Time. They were phenomenal. And last but not least, Ariel can be black if she wants to be.
Yes. Spider-Man can be gay, Dad.
He's gayer than gay. Stupid.